Blog Talk Radio.
How's it going, everybody? This is Brother Carson. This is Mad Dash Radio here on blogtalkradio.com. It's great to be here today. We got a nice special story for you guys. We are doing the story of V.J. Smith and his history, his background, where he came from, and how that make him into the man today, ahead of the Minneapolis Mad Dash. Before we get into it, we're going to talk about our schedule. Tuesday night today at 5 o'clock, come join us at the Urban Ventures. We are located at 3041 4th Avenue, South Minneapolis. Come by, get a meal. If you have kids, we have daycare for them. You know, just come by and vent to us, talk to us, be with us, have fun with us, and get into some discussions and get the help that you need, any kind of resources we have for you. Also, if you guys see the Mad Dash out on the streets or on the bus, make sure y'all holler at them. If you want to volunteer or do any kind of help with the Mad Dads, make sure that you sign up with them and make sure that you give all your information so we can contact you and get that stuff started. But we have BJ here right now. BJ, how you doing?
Hey, you know, I'm doing really great. Matter of fact, I'm what you call Marvtastic, which means I'm right in the middle of marvelous and fantastic. So That's how I feel. That's how I feel today, Alex. You know, and I want you to know that anybody can feel like that. I invented that word. I came up with that word because I thought it was important for us to begin to feel. You know, so many times people say, "How you doing, man?" "I'm aight." Well, that means that you just aight. That means you aight. But when you say that you are testing, man, that's got energy.
Right.
That's got motivation. That's got juice. That says that there must be something really exciting going on in your life. And sometimes people say, I want to use that word. I want to not only use the word, but I want to be a part of something great. So even when I'm down, say I'm fantastic, I begin to feel better, brother.
All right. That's great to hear, VJ. I've been wanting to do this episode for quite a while, and I'm glad to be able to get that going. And so basically I just want to ask you some key questions, very simple questions, you know. How has your past prepared you to be the man you are now?
Well, when I was 9 years old, Alex, I was living in Kansas City, Missouri, and I was with my stepfather. His name was Pete Weston, and my little brother, which was Baron Smith, and my mother, which was Barbara Smith. My mother was actually in love with my biological dad, which was Eugene Glover. Eugene Glover had a family, though. He had my other four brothers and one sister. I knew nothing about them, but my mother loved that man so much that she named me Gene, the middle name, after him. He was Eugene Glover. My stepfather had recognized that there were some problems going on and began to get abusive to my mother. My mother left and left me with my stepfather and my little brother. At that time, there was a time when my stepfather looked at me and said, "I can no longer feed you," because he knew that I was not his son, but I was the son of the man that my mother loved more than she loved him. So I was separated from my little brother and sent to. He told me to go in this building, and it was a juvenile detention. I went in there where I stayed and where I had to live my life somewhat as a juvenile, as a criminal. I went from foster home to foster home where I was introduced to organized crime at the age of 16. While I was in high school, one of the things that that they did teach me how to do was to at least graduate from high school. And when I graduated from high school, I was recruited right into organized crime. I went into organized crime, and I selling, distributing, and manufacturing, and was marketing narcotics and any other kind of crime that I could do. I was a very courageous young man at that age, and had no fear. Matter of fact, I didn't fear anything because I didn't believe anybody really loved me, so I was willing to give my life up for the crime. But something happened. I went on the run, and when I went on the run, I went to a place called Oklahoma City. And in Oklahoma, I began to go to the shelters and the homeless camps and try to figure out what was my next move going to be. I figured that I probably couldn't make it dealing drugs again, and I couldn't make it organized crime again, but I needed to figure something out. So I started, I stayed at the YMCA after I left the shelter, and I went to the YMCA, and I began to shine shoes. And while I was shining shoes, I also found a job at a box company. I met a lot of lawyers and a lot of professionals while I was shining their shoes. I began to do that, and working at the box company, I began to also realize that it was important for me to give back. I stayed in an apartment complex that was very, very, very rough. People hated each other, and I began to bring them together. I asked the manager, could I do that? She said yes. I remember bringing families together, having events, doing stuff for the kids and the parents, and then the manager said, wow, everybody's more peaceful, no more fighting, no shooting. What did you do? And I said, all I did was show everybody some love and told them how to love each other. And it was an amazing thing. When I went to church, I got baptized at a church in Oklahoma City. When I went to the church, I got baptized, and the pastor said, what's your name? And I asked the pastor, if you were going to give out my real name, would you call the police? And he said no. And I told him my name, and I said, when I get home, I'm going to call and see if the police is still looking for me. I got on the phone. I called two different states, asked them, were they looking for Mr. Smith? The answer was no in both states that day. I decided that God had did something for me. Since I gave my life to God, that he had did something that had cleared my record. And to this day, I have not looked back, and I've kept going. And I got a bus ticket and got on the Greyhound bus in Oklahoma City. I'll never forget that day. I got on the bus, and while I was on the bus, everybody from that apartment complex, when the bus pulled off, everybody, they were in cars and trucks and vans, and they followed the bus waving and crying because I was leaving. And I knew then, I knew right then, that God wants me to create community. God wants me to change communities. When I came to Minnesota, I began to work different jobs. I worked for Archie Givens. I worked in property management. I worked for the airline. I did a lot of things. And I met Art Erickson and John Turnipseed, and we partnered together and started Mad Dads under the physical agency of Urban Ventures. And in 2001, we broke off, and Mad Dads is now its own nonprofit, a 501c3. We've been our own nonprofit since 2001. I thank Urban Ventures for giving me that opportunity to get a start. Everybody needs to start somewhere. We are now almost a $500,000-a-year organization that works hard to bring community together. When I first hit the streets, all we did was street outreach. And then what happened is that I realized that we need to bring families together. We partnered with Urban Ventures and did the family support group. And then we began to bring more and more families together. We started off with just 5 family members. Today we have over 80 to 85 members, families that come together every Tuesday.
Wow.
And I think this is exciting, you know, to see that work out.
I definitely see the fruit of the labor. When I go to those meetings and I see those people there, and people keep coming back, and those who were there angry at 1 week and now they're back and they're happy. You know, they're happy people. We got somebody here who seems like they might have a question. Caller, thank you for being patient. How you doing?
Hello.
Call on the line. This is Matt Dash Radio. Thank you for being patient. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. No, I didn't have no question. I mean, I was just calling to listen in and see what's going on. I mean, what did you talking about today, sir?
We are talking about the story of V.J. Smith. I'm glad you called in and listening. Thank you very much for doing so. So I'm going to make sure keep your number down.
Hey, can we – that was Leroy. And so Leroy, I'd like for Leroy to tell how he got involved with Mad Dads, because his story, too, is really important. Leroy, how did you get involved?
Well, actually, my kid's mother – was talking about this place, because I was struggling, you know, for work and looking for a job at a point in time of my life. And, you know, after getting out of jail, you know, for being part of the streets and living a fast life, and I wanted to make a change in my life. So she told me about the program. I ended up going to the program, and it was amazing. I mean, I immediately wanted to jump in and start volunteering, because I seen the respect and the love that Mad Dad was getting when they do the outreach, and it was like, wow, it was just amazing and blew me away. So I end up getting involved, doing some volunteer, you know what I'm saying? Started off in 2002, getting on the buses, reaching out to people in the community. What I really loved about it was when we go out and we reach the youth, we go in right there, right up front to them, and communicate with them and talk to them and try to lead them to a different direction. I mean, I truly felt like that was so needed, and it was so cool and calm with me, because we, as African-American people, we know ourselves and our peoples, and the kids, I guess, they feel comfortable with their color, you know. So it's like they gave us respect, you know. It's like if they was losing some kind of parenting or father figure or something, big brother in their life, once the Mad Dads came around and communicated and conversated with them, the negativity that they've been getting, it was okay with them receiving something positive. So it was catchy. I mean, I just was truly feeling it. You know, I seen leaders and stuff, you know, back in the days doing a lot of stuff like this, and I always be like, man, he got guts. You know, they're out there. They stepping out. They doing something, and they consistent about it years and years and years. But now, as I get older, I'm in a place in my life and with the Mad Dads to where, you know, I feel the vision, and, you know, I love serving and helping and just making a change.
Yeah.
So I turned off with the Mad Dads, and it's no turning back. You know, I'm going to be led by God, and if God directs me this way and keep me right here, I'm going to go forth as far and as long as I can, helping people out in the world.
Amen. That's what I like. That's what I like. And, you know, it's one of those things that where you join something and you get that feeling like, this is where I belong. You know, this is where my home is. And that's what I get all the time when I'm around you guys, you know, Mad Dads, and, you know, anybody associated with, you know, Mr. Turnipseed, you know, Jack, Mr. Strader, you know, just being around you all is a great feeling, because it's home to me, you know. And
a lot of people out there is lost, you know. And see, that's what the thing was. I was lost, but when I found the source, the main source, Jesus Christ. When I finally found Jesus Christ in my life, it's like he will lead you, and he will put you in place. He will open doors for you that nobody else can close. Like, I have felonies on my record. I'm at the point right now where I'm finna get expunged. It's gonna be all behind me. But I've tried the security jobs. I try to work, drive school buses. I want to drive the MTC bus. But this is how God works. He gives you the desires of your heart. Right now, I couldn't just go and fill out an application and be part of that. But the people that's walking in Christ, you get involved with people that know people and doing different things in the spiritual peace, and I'm right where I want to be. I wanted to drive a bus, I ride on the bus, and I do security. That's God. I truly, that's God.
Is.
He you where you need to be if you want to be. All you got to do is be obedient to him. So God, Jesus is the key to me today. And I'm going to stand on it. And whoever listens, I hope it's touching somebody. Give them a chance. Give God a chance, because if you tried everything, you got to submit.
Amen.
You got to submit and let go and just give God a chance. And you will see the results. You will see the miracles. It's there.
Amen.
I mean, I'm excited about Jesus today and tell us I'm not afraid to say his name. I'm not afraid to reach out to somebody and let them know who he is and who I stand for. And if you ain't trying to follow, I can't do nothing but plant a seed and keep pushing.
Amen. That's what's up, man, Leo. I'm glad you called in and said that, because you may have called in to listen in, but, you know, the Lord put that on your heart to put out. So, you know, it's kind of like an advantage and disadvantage to see these numbers pop up, because I take it as a caller wanting to chime in. But obviously you had something to say, and I'm glad that you called in, sir. And, you know, God bless you, because I know there's some people out there listening who might have just need to hear that just right now, you know what I mean, who probably needs to hear that right now. And since they heard it, you know, maybe they heard it all their life, but today they have to hear it again, maybe, you know what I mean? And so they
Amen.
Hear, they, you know, maybe they tuned in, maybe they heard it from you, and, you know, they hear it from VJ Smith or whoever. They heard it today, and it's going to resonate with them, and they're going to actually put that in their heart. So, I thank God for you to call in, Leroy. Now, I want to get back into, questions to VJ, because I wanted to know more about his history. And VJ, back in the day, you were a DJ. I wanted to know more about that stuff. How did you get involved with DJing, and how did that set up things for you today?
Oh, man, check it out. It used to be the guy named Will, right? And I met this guy named Will, and I said, your name is Will, my name is VJ, let's do this rap. My name's VJ, and my name is Will. You better watch out, cops, we out for the kill. We're a couple of nice guys, so you better beware. Tonight we're going to make the party this year. So get out to sleep, don't let it get hot, because we're going to make this party rock. You know, we used to do all kinds of stuff. I was good at writing, and I knew that I knew how to get people moving and get hyped up and get excited. And I had been underground for so long that I wanted to come out. I wanted people to know who I was. I wanted people to be aware of who I was. I wanted people to know my name, because I was tired of being this guy. Nobody knew who I was. And so I began to share my wisdom and all that stuff I've been holding in for years and years of being hiding out and running around from different cities, couldn't tell anybody who I was. I finally wanted a mic in my hand to tell the world, I want people to know who I am. And ever since then, it's been my goal to let people know who I am, because I don't want to be ashamed of who I am. What's your name? Slim, Red. I mean, I don't want nobody really know. How you know my real name? Hey, man, turn them cameras off. Hey, man, get the video off me, man. I don't want to be. I just got tired of living like that. I wanted people to, if you got a camera, let me get in the picture. If you got a video, let me talk about it. If you're on the radio, let me say some things. And when I got a chance to do that, man, I started to work the clubs. I didn't know how to mix. I didn't know how to do that. But I did know how to talk. I had a gift to communicate, and I also had that gift to get the crowd moving. I knew how to make a crowd move. Almost every live band in the city of Minnesota would let me get on the stage at any time and grab that mic and make everybody move and get them involved and make stuff happen. And I was, when I come in the club, they said, VJ, the DJ is in the house. VJ, come on up. And I would get everybody going. That was my thing. Then I started going into the clubs and getting the club hype. And then I started getting job offers. So DJs stopped letting me do that. They're like, nah, dude, when he gets up there, the owner wants him at the club, you know. So I began to do clubs, and I began to do, and then finally TJ Jones, Thornton Jones, came up to one of the clubs. I was working at Jersey Sports Bar, and he came up and said, man, I like your voice, man. You're good for radio. And he gave me opportunity. I started working with Chaz Millionaire on KMOJ doing Late Night Love with VJ the DJ and Chaz Millionaire. The only thing that you need on is Late Night Love. I started to do that show, and I did that for a few years. And while I was doing that, I was still doing some negative things in my life. I had kind of reverted back to some of my old habits because I got so much recognition. Radio was really, it was nonprofit. It really wasn't paying much. I had to find something to keep my image. I wanted to be the best dressed. I wanted to be the cleanest. I wanted to help people. I wanted to have money, and I needed money. So in the daytime, I was doing events. I was doing projects. I was doing stuff in the community. And at night, I was doing my thing, man. I was making money. The cats that I was rolling with, they was rolling with dough. We was doing it together. I started a company called VJ Productions. We did a great event for that had never been done in the history of KMOJ. We gave awards to all the DJs, put them all in tuxedos, gave them all limo rides, and had a great banquet with award ceremony for them all. I produced at VJ Productions. I realized that I wanted to produce something, wasn't sure what it was. But then I got myself into a little more trouble. So I had to start over again. And starting over again, that was my life as a DJ. That was my life as a DJ ran a few years. My life as an MC, my life as a radio personality ran for a few years. Pete Rose, Black Music America, he actually gave me my first start. And then there was another brother named Professor Funk with KFAI Radio. He was actually the first brother to let me get on the radio. And then I used to be at a church in South Minneapolis. KFAI used to be in the attic of a church. Can you believe that?
Wow.
That's where it started. I was one of the first DJs along with Professor Funk at KFAI Radio. And now they have their own building. And then I went from KFAI to CBLS, which is now Black Music America, and then from there to KMOJ. So I have a history in that whole world there that a lot of people know me as VJ to DJ, and that's kind of how I got started.
Okay. And I want to know about that breaking point, that moment in your life where you broke down and decided that Christ was the answer that you needed to seek out. I wanted to know what happened that day or night. And, we have 7 minutes here, too. So if we start running long out, I'll chime in. But I just want to know about that breaking point. What happened that night that says, I give up, Lord, and I'm putting it in your hands?
Well, what happened that night is that I was smoking crack cocaine. And I had a pocket full of money. And I was drinking, getting high, and I had two girls with me. I was in a basement of a house. And in the basement of the house, I noticed all of a sudden I start feeling weak. And I got really weak, and before I knew it, my body slammed, and I said, oh, no, there's a piece of metal on the floor. And there was this piece of pipe that was sticking up out of the ground, but I couldn't stop. I said, my head's going to hit that. And I kept saying to my brain kept saying, yes, your head, and I couldn't stop my body. My head hit it. And the two girls, one of them was named Barbara, and that's the name of my mother. And and I said, what's your name? She said, it's Barbara. And there was a big gush of blood coming out of my head. My forehead had been smashed. I needed stitches. I went home and looked in the mirror, and I said, God, leave that. I'm not going to the hospital. Leave that. Because I don't want to ever do this again. Leave that scar on my forehead because I don't want to ever, ever do this again. But what's really kind of weird about this, I was thinking, I'm kind of out of it and I've got all this dope on me and this money. But these two ladies did nothing but try to help me. That morning, that same morning, I found out that my brother had died in Kansas City. And I thought about the fact that here's Barbara, the same name as my mother, is helping me. And here I am. And I wanted that scar to stay on my head. 2 weeks later, I looked up. The scar has been gone. It's been gone ever since. There is no scar. And I believe what God was telling me. I will not leave a scar on your head, but I will leave the scar in your soul to remind you what you promised me, that you would be done. And I believe that your word is good, VJ. So I'm taking the scar away. So if you look at my head, you can't see anything. You can't see there was a gash that needed lots of stitches. And I didn't do anything with it because I wanted it in my face. I wanted to remind me of what I did. But God said, no, I'm going to clear your face. because you will do good work for me.
Mm-hmm.
That was my breaking point.
Wow. And, you know, and for those who are listening, that's also my first time hearing that, too. One thing that I'm thinking of is the story of, you know, Cain after being, you know, after, you know, murder of his brother Abel, he was exiled and he was put a mark on his forehead. And, you know, the fact that, you know, his mark never disappeared because he did everything out of hatred and, you know, his mark stayed there. He was exiled, you know, out of his town. But then, you know, and then hearing your story about, you know, being, you know, blood gushing out of your forehead and you're asking the Lord to put it there, you know, to leave it there. And he, the Lord refused to leave that scar there because he wanted, or he knew that you will remember what happened to yourself that day anyway. So it's a great thing. I mean, just think about it, you know. That's something that typically you would think the Lord would leave there for your reminder. But you didn't need any physical deformity to remind you what happened to you because, like you said, he wanted to leave a scar in your soul and let you know how, you know, what not to do. But I'm glad that you told us the story today. I'm glad we had this show today. Even though it was only 30 minutes, it was still, felt to me, it was really good. So, VJ, we have 3 minutes left on live right now. If you want to pray us out.
I sure will. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now for the fact that you've given us an opportunity to do your will, to do your work, and that you've given us an opportunity to touch the lives of young people and show them a way that they can be productive in this community. But not only that, Lord, but you've given us the strength and guidance that it takes. And, Lord, that when you have touched our lives, we know that there's no reason to look back. There's no reason to go back into mess, but it's our opportunity to step forward into our greatness, the greatness that you gave each and every one of us. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for that ability. I thank you for that opportunity. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for how good you've been to us. I'm so thankful that I can even say your name today and know that it's because of you I am who I am. I am so thankful, Lord, that you put Alex in our lives, that he can be a blessing to us, to help us to produce this show every week. I am so thankful for the outreach team and thankful for the folks in the office and thank you for the families that we'll touch tonight. I am thankful, Father, because being thankful to you, there is glory coming our way each and every day. God bless.
All right. Thank you so much, VJ. Thank you, Leroy, for calling in, also being
and
our guest.
Hey, and Alex, that address is 3023 4th Avenue. Anybody coming tonight at 5 to 7, it's 3023. We moved. We're 3023 4th Avenue now.
Okay, 3023 4th Avenue South. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So anybody who's coming tonight to our Urban Ventures, the family time classes, parenting classes. Also, we just have our Mad Dads meetings every Tuesday at 5 o'clock tonight. And we are located, that's our cue. I hate when that thing comes on. Again, we are located 3023 4th Avenue, South Minneapolis. Hope we see you guys tonight. Again, VJ, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you so much, Leroy. It was important for me to hear that. And I'm pretty sure somebody was listening and they you touched their souls. Couldn't get the chat room open, definitely next time you guys just tune in. 1 o'clock every Tuesday to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com/Mad Dads Radio. And we are out. See you next week. God bless.
God bless.